Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us this morning. That we would see areas in our life that we need to turn over to you, that we need to repent of. We need to get our lives back in line with what your word says. May your will be done with every person in here now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The title of the message today is Ridiculously Worldly. And you know who I'm preaching to today? Me. Because let me tell you what happened to me, okay? A couple weeks ago, I was watching Arkansas play football against Texas A&M. And I got so mad and so upset. I usually always go to my dad's to watch football games. Number one, we don't have satellite, so I can't watch them at home. And number two is because I like hanging out with my dad to watch the ball games. And I got so mad, I couldn't even control it. Now, I wasn't throwing stuff. I wasn't cussing. I wasn't having a temper tantrum. But on the inside, I was so upset over a stupid football game, I left. I said, I don't even want to watch anymore. We're driving home, and Crystal can tell how mad I am. She's like, why do you get so mad about football games? I said, I can't help it. I don't want to be this way. She said, do the guys at work mess with you or something? Well, all the guys I work with are Oklahoma fans, and sorry, Candy, but they can't mess with me too much this year because Oklahoma's doing about like Arkansas, you know? So it's not that. And I kept going over this in my mind because I didn't want to feel this way. Anybody ever have an emotion inside of you and you know it's stupid? You know you shouldn't feel that way, but it's just there and you're like, why do I feel this way? Why am I struggling with this so much? And I got to, you know, one of the things that bothered me so much was we were a better team. And we were losing. We lose to Alabama. It doesn't bother me near as bad. Alabama's better. They're probably going to be better till Nick Saban retires or any football players. You guys can disagree with me, but that's probably just the way it's going to be. It doesn't bother me as bad to lose from somebody that's better. But when you know you're better, or you think you know you're better, and you lose, it bothered me. But as I got to thinking about all that, and it's funny, because then I was at the high school football game, and I got to spend some time with some parents of a guy that I grew up with. He was one of my better friends growing up, and his nephew has come to Mansfield and playing football at Mansfield this year. And so I got to see his parents, and I love his parents so much. They're good people. They've always been so kind to me. To my family for years, they let us come and swim in their swimming pool and bring our kids over, and they're just good people, and I hadn't seen them in years, and so I got to visit with them. But it's so funny, because as I'm visiting with them, we began to talk about back when his boys played football, which his youngest boy played with me, and his oldest boy was a little older than me, and never played with him, and he started talking about a football game from 1989. And he said, we should have never lost that game. And he was talking about it was Kyle's uncle was the coach at Hackett. And he had played for the coach at Mansfield. And this dad that I was talking to this week said he knew every play we were going to run before we even ran it because he played for him and he knew how he was going to do it and said we couldn't do nothing and they were right there, but we were a better team. And it cracked me up because here's a game from 1989, how many years ago that was, and you could see the fire inside of him and how upset he was getting. We should have never lost that game. And I just thought, how many people are just like me and they struggle with things that are just dumb? That's why I titled it Ridiculously Worldly. How many of you are competitive in here? Is there anybody competitive in here? I got two or three honest people. The rest of you, you can confess lying and not. But we do have... There's certain things, times that we get competitive, and I hadn't even thought of this till just now, but used to, Casey and some of the guys used to come over and play ping pong with me. And I'd always beat them at ping pong. It was funny because Casey's pretty competitive too. But then Casey, because he was so competitive, kept practicing and practicing and practicing and got to where he could destroy me in ping pong. Why was that? Because he was competitive, right, Casey? I'm not saying something that ain't true. And then he got to where he could beat me in ping pong. So I quit playing ping pong. But we have this competitive nature in many of us, but as I was go back to how I felt about the football game, I began to examine myself and I thought, what's wrong with me? Why am I so upset about a Razorback football game? I mean, if the Razorback wins, they don't call me up and say, Pete, you did a great job watching the game today. If they lose, they don't call me up and say, Pete, you moved seats in your living room. That's what caused it, as I know some of you won't move seats. They didn't do that. They never have done that. But it bothers me so much, and I began to think about it, and I began to think, what is wrong with me? And I thought, one of the issues, number one, is pride and boasting. Why are we so competitive? Pride. Maybe it's boasting. It's talking about how good we are, or talking about, you know, what we've done, what we've accomplished. One of the things that the struggles that I have, and I think many of us have, is pride. Jeremiah 9:23 says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast about his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. This morning, as I was going back over this sermon, and I got to thinking, that saying, the person that is wise, it's an ability that he has, don't boast about wisdom. The person that is strong, that's not a weak person, that's an ability you have, don't boast about your strength. The rich man, that means you're wealthy, you have that, don't boast about your riches. So that means even if you are well accomplished in whatever area of your life, we're not to boast about it. We're not to brag about it. So when I go to work, if Arkansas won and Oklahoma lost, I'm not to go to all them guys that I work with and all my bosses, well, supervisors, are Oklahoma people. I'm not to go to them and go, ha ha, Arkansas won, y'all lost, eh. You know, I'm not to do that. I'm not to act like that. But you break it down even further in your life and in your heart and in your mind. And how many of us, because maybe we are kind of smart, maybe we are kind of blessed, maybe we are a little bit stronger than others around us, maybe because we haven't failed in the same way others have failed, there's something inside of us that thinks, I'm just a little bit better than them. You may not even voice it, but in the inside you feel that way. Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord detests the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. The Lord is telling us here that if you are proud, you're not going to get away with it. You will be punished eventually. Psalms 94:4 says, they pour out arrogant word, all the evildoers are full of boasting. You think about how many times do we get going and we tell of all that we've done and all the things that we are. And it's funny because I haven't talked about my football when I played in a long time. And I don't know, a couple weeks ago I was talking with Keaton and Keaton started asking me questions. So I started talking about football. And honestly, y'all, it's been so long since I've talked about it. This isn't a lie. I can't remember my numbers anymore. And used to, you asked me how many yards I rushed for. You asked me how many sacks I made. You asked me how many tackles I made. I knew them. And I could just tell you. So I'm telling Keaton and he's like, well, what'd you run your 40 in? And he started asking me questions and I'm telling him all this. And then I grinned real big and I said, Keaton, I was pretty good. And the Lord hit me with conviction right when I said it. And then within a, I don't know, pretty quick, I said, now, Keaton, I was pretty good. But I said, I wasn't Casey good. It's like, I need to bring myself back down. Casey was pretty good. I'll brag on Casey. I said, I wasn't Casey good, but I was pretty good. And the Lord said, Pete, what are you doing? What are you doing? Being boastful, bragging. Now, Keaton, sometimes you can talk to people and people that love you. I want to know, if something good happens in your life, I want you to tell me. I mean that. I want to know how your kids are. I enjoyed so much going to the Little League game yesterday and watching the Coop Prairie kids. Honestly, Crystal looked at me at one point and she said, Coop Prairie kids are killing it out there on the football field. I mean, it was you kept hearing kids from our church's name on the loudspeaker, and it's like and getting to see the little ones do their cheers and all that. I enjoyed it so much, and I want to hear when your kids are doing good, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's when we get that arrogant attitude that the Lord needs to convict us of those moments and stop us in our track and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so as I was reflecting on my own life and my heart, and I was thinking about the arrogance and the pride and the boasting that comes out of me sometimes, and church, this isn't just in worldly things. If you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, this is in things spiritually also that I believe that we can get in trouble. Matthew 6:1, it says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You see what that's saying? Don't do what you do for glory, for honor, so people see you, so people recognize you, so people think, oh wow, look at what Pete did, how awesome of a guy he is. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when I think about this, and I think about how many times have you given, how many times have you done something, but you did it more to get the pat on the back. You did it to get recognized. You did it so that people will say, man, what a great person you are. What a great guy you are. What a great girl you are. How awesome you are. Goes on to say, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And when I think about this, and I think how many of us we want to pray this prayer that just wows people. If they look at you and they go, wow, man, they must have a relationship with God like I don't. How can they say what they say? How can they say those words like they do? Sometimes we just keep babbling and babbling and babbling because we think it sounds good. But can I tell you something? When you pray and you pray in faith, can't you just say a few words, just like you're talking to your earthly father? You say a few words and the need's known and can be met. But we continue on and we continue on. Why? Well, is it for show? Is it for pride? See, it's not just in the worldly things, but we got to be careful in the spiritual realm that we're not doing things to just be seen, whether it's giving, whether it's praying, whatever we do, that we're not doing those things to get recognition. I looked at my life and I said, number one, I've got too much pride. And number two, I need to get I'm too focused on the world. I'm too focused on the world to get so upset over Arkansas Razorback football game. Where's the problem at? I'm too focused on the world and worldly things. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So when I'm thinking about football, when I'm thinking about sports, when I'm thinking about all these things and trophy and accomplishments, what am I focused on? I can't even tell you, honestly, because as I was reading through this and thinking about this, and I can't even tell you how many softball tournaments we won or lost. One really stands out to me just because back when I coached softball, when Madeline played, you didn't play on Sundays. You played only on Fridays and Saturdays, and you might play all night. And we were in a championship game in Alma. We were playing a team from Springdale, and the game started at like 1 or 2 in the morning. And we played it to get it over with so everybody could go to church on Sundays, or that's what it was in my mind. We didn't get home from the game till 3 or 4 in the morning. I went to bed and come and preach the next day. And that one stands out in my mind because it was so far into the middle of the night. I got trophies, I got junk in my closet that's got dust on it. And honestly, a lot of them, I don't know why I can't bring myself to throw them away. A lot of them have went into storage bins and out in the shed. Why not throw it away? But in those moments, I was so focused on winning. I remember one time telling the girls they were playing terrible. And everybody, all the parents are cheering. Oh, we're just here to have fun. We're just here to have fun. And I called them all together and I said, you know what's fun to me? Winning. I said, getting our heads knocked in isn't very much fun, is it, girls? No. So let's start playing better. That's what's fun, is when you're playing good and you're winning. We're not here to have fun. We're here to win. Focus on the wrong things. How many times have my thoughts, my actions been focused on worldly things instead of godly things? You want to go with me to 1 John? I'm going to read a few verses there. And 1 John chapter 2, just 15 through 17. And it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I want you to think about how many of these desires that you had from maybe years ago, maybe when you were in high school, maybe when you were elementary, maybe when you were in college, those trophies that you won, those things that you strive for. I keep making reference to sports, but you know, I know people that work just as hard for educational goals, like, you know, the Beta Club or a spelling bee or whatever, because you want to win that trophy, you want to win that prize. And it's funny because Hayden was with a patient and the patient began to talk about a football that used to be passed back and forth between Mansfield and another team. They would play for this football. It was like in the 40s and 50s. And if they won this football, then, you know, that school got to keep the football for that year. And then the next year, whoever won the football, and the man had told Hayden how the ball had just deflated and gone to nothing, you know. It just makes me think of all my trophies. When I remember when I was a young man and everything, and I had all these trophies, and I thought, someday my kids are going to look at those trophies and go, wow, Dad! They're all out in the shed. honestly, I don't even know if my kids have ever even seen them. Maybe Hayden has when we're knocking out spiders and cleaning out the shed once every 10 years or something, you know, like, I don't know. But those things that were so important, those worldly passions, those worldly lusts, and they soon pass away. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. You know, this even crossed my mind. Amy was telling me about some of the people she saw at the Mansfield football game Friday night, and people that are either from Mansfield and come back, or they had kids playing here, or nephews and stuff, and Mansfield got killed Friday night. And we were like, oh, it's too bad that they all come to see that game. See that game when we didn't play to our best and the other team just dominated. It's too bad. Why? Why is it too bad? Because we want to be winners. We want to be champions. We want people to see our accomplishments. And schools and people that win all the time and seems like life is so good, what are they? They're usually prideful. They're usually arrogant. They're usually boastful. Why? Because their focus is on their accomplishments. Their focus is upon their things. And just like us, how many of us were prideful and were boastful and our focus is on the world and the things of the world? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I've preached on this verse for years. I've went in depth and detail. We've talked about our minds and taking every thought captive, but I'm still struggling. Why? Because I'm too much in the pattern of this world. Sometimes we get in ruts. Sometimes we're just following the leader. Sometimes we think, well, that's the way things are. And sometimes there's just that nature inside of us that we battle, right? That pride, that arrogance. But how many of us, if we would just transform our minds, the renewing of our minds, and say that stuff don't matter? I'm a huge advocate of sports. I think that God allowed me to meet so many people over the years, coaching my kids and playing in tournaments, and I still see kids today that'll come up and hug me, and when I haven't seen them for a long time. I'm a big advocate of sports, but y'all, how quickly it can turn wrong, and how quickly I see even in myself. I haven't played competitively, so it's probably about 40. You know, I even all through my 30s liked to play stuff and was competitive. And then one day I woke up and said, I'm old and that hurts. I gotta stop. But y'all, there's still just something inside of me that I need to learn to stop conforming to the pattern of this world. So I recognize that I've got pride and boasting inside of me. I recognize that I'm focused too much on the world. And then the third thing I recognized was that anger. How come I had this anger inside of me that I knew, but I couldn't control it? My wife's looking at me going, Peach, this is ridiculous. My family, my dad's like, Peter, you really leaving? Hayden's like, he can't handle it or whatever. And it's like, I know it's stupid. Why? But this anger inside of me. James 1:19-20 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. It's all man's anger. there for sports, for things of this world, for I keep picking on sports, but there's you know, when your kid's not nominated to the student council and you think they should, or they don't get the gold star on their spelling test or their paper that you thought they did such a great job, and they get a B minus and you thought it was an A plus, and that anger and that what's building up inside of you, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And how many times are we angry over the wrong things? We're angry because it makes us look bad, because of our pride, because it makes our children look bad, or our family look bad, or our sports team look bad, because we're so full of pride and this anger that we have. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." I'm somewhere in the middle there. Because I didn't give full vent to my wrath. I didn't go home and take a baseball bat and start hitting stuff and just explode and start yelling and cussing. But there was an anger inside of me that did not need to be there. There was an anger inside of me that was welling up. And as I was thinking about all this, and I thought, so the pride, the wrong focus, the anger. And I went back to that man. And I love this man. He's such a wonderful guy, and I'm not talking about him in a way, because it's the exact same thing that I can go back and look at things in my life. It's just funny because this came out of a game from 1989. How many years ago has that been? 32? 33? Thank you, Susie. I'm hanging up here. I'm 33 years of football game, and you're still passionately, that coach knew every move, we were a better team, and we should have never lost that game. I forgot about the game. I wasn't playing in the game, I forgot about the game. And I just thought, of all these things inside of me, and inside of those around me, inside of people I know, maybe there's something inside of you right now that if you thought real hard about, that anger would stir back up. Don't do it. But maybe there is something. And this verse came to my mind in 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. "And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard." It made me think. Lord, how upset I get on a third strike call that was out of the strike zone. How upset do I get over a slide at home plate that they were clearly out and they call them safe? How upset do I get over the Razorbacks not winning a football game that they should have won? How upset do I get over this or that or this or that? But when was the last time I was tormented in my soul over the lawless deeds and the evil that's going on all around me every day? Do I even get upset anymore? Does it even bother me when they take the Lord's name in vain, when they're pumping pornography into our children, when they're bold-faced lying, when they're raiding the homes of people that are pro-life? Is it even hardly even upset me anymore? But you get our quarterback that fumbles on the goal line and I can't even finish a game. But you get someone that takes the Lord's name in vain and I don't even blink. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with us? Here, this righteous man was tormented in his soul over the lawless deeds that he's seen. And what are we upset over? Because our names look bad, because our town looks bad, because our state looks bad, because somebody didn't recognize our kids for an accomplishment, because we didn't get a pat on the back when we done something. And we get so upset and we get so angry, but the unrighteousness and the ungodliness and the evil that's going on all around us, we've become so accustomed to, we've learned to just tolerate it, that it doesn't even hardly stir us anymore. Some of y'all was here when Ralph Piles came and shared his testimony, and I thought it was one of the best examples. How many of y'all was here when Ralph shared his testimony? This has been a long time ago. Ralph went to prison for drugs. God's just done a miracle in his life. I can't even tell you all that God's done in him, but after he gave his life to God and he ended up being able to adopt kids, and him being a felon, you usually can't even adopt kids, and just the miracle after miracle God did in his life. But he said while he was in prison, he said that the first nights there, he said, was horrible. He said the godless acts that was going on around him, and he said it was just filth and disgust. And I can't tell a story the way Ralph can. Ralph is one of the best storytellers I know. But I can't remember exactly. It's been years ago since he shared, but it seems like a few days, maybe a few weeks had went by, and he was laying there in bed. And he thought, oh, it's not happening tonight. The vile stuff. He's like, it's not happening tonight. Wonder what's going on. And so then he looked around and it was happening. And he said he had just gotten so used to it, he'd become kind of numb to it. And isn't that how Satan does with us in our world? We get so used to the immorality that we've just kind of grown accustomed to it, and it's not really bothering us anymore. When Disney broadcasts filth for our children to try and brainwash them, when the commercials come across the TV and it's immoral and against God's word, we just that's kind of gross, but we don't even change the channel anymore. How we're bombarded, and we're bombarded, and they're brainwashing us, and they brainwash the church that we're not even upset. We're not even upset. So my question to you today, are you upset over football? Are you upset over sports, awards? Are you prideful in areas of your life? Maybe it's not to do with sports. Maybe it's to do with your job. You ever have someone correct you at your workplace and you don't like it? Why? Because you know better? You know, I've had my boss tell me to do stuff. I knew it was wrong. I knew it wasn't the best way to do it. And sometimes I didn't do what he said. And sometimes I did what he said to just see it fail. But other times what he's told me to do, I did it reluctantly. And sometimes I figure out, that wasn't such a bad idea. Well, why did I think it was a bad idea in the first place? Because of my pride, because of my arrogance, because I thought I knew better. What are you struggling with today? And I want to end with this. Psalms 139:12-24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." When was the last time you said that to God? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me." See, when I'm talking about how ridiculously worldly we are, and I'm saying all these things, I'm talking to Pete this morning. But I'm thankful that I'm recognizing it in my life, because when God's searching me and seeing if there's offensive ways in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting, see, then I can look at my thoughts, I can look at my mind, and I can go, it's wrong, it's evil, I need to stop with the pride, I need to stop with my worldly focus, I need to stop with the anger. God, you search my heart and you see these things in me. Now, most of us would think getting upset over a football game, it ain't like robbing a bank. You know, most of us think we're getting upset because our kid didn't get the golden star, or because our boss said something that we didn't like. Well, that's different, Pete. Is it? What's really in our hearts? What's really in our minds? And what's really causing this? Are we more upset over a football game from 1989 or 2010 or this last Friday night than we are about the immorality and the evil and the corruption going on in our world? If we are, then this prayer and this cry is for us. God, search me today. Search me today, God, and then lead me in the way of everlasting. See, when I recognize the anger, when I recognize the pride, when I recognize that, I can ask God to forgive me, and He will. And then I can say, God, lead me in the way of everlasting. And you know what that means? That means sometimes you have to change. You have to stop. You have to change directions. You have to not watch a football game sometimes. If it's going to get you that stirred up. Sometimes you might have to shut off the television. You might have to not look at social media. But God, lead me in the way of everlasting. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And I thank You for the work that You're doing in my life. Father, sometimes I feel like I still have so far to go. And I pray for Your forgiveness now. I pray for Your forgiveness all over this room, Lord, for so many of us that are so bound up in pride and anger and focusing upon the world and the ways of the world and the things of the world. Father, may You forgive us of those things and may we be redirected in our path. Lord, search every heart in this place, and if there's anything that's hindering our walk with You, if there's anything that we don't see in ourselves, maybe others see it. Lord, Your Holy Spirit, may it point out to each and every one of us today that if we've been doing things for the wrong reasons, to be patted on the back, to be told good job, that Lord, that our focus would be back upon You, Lord, that we would not live in pride and arrogance any longer. But may we understand we have an audience of one, and that's You. May You lead each and every one of us in the way of everlasting now. May we not conform to the pattern of this world any longer, but may You renew our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning for anything, you've been struggling, this is your opportunity. And I hope and I pray that just as the Lord is revealing things in my life, that He'll be revealing in your life today, areas that you're weak, areas that you need help with.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find Your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Come as You are.
I know, these are videoed and broadcast. I have no idea who's listening or not. But you know, at the first football game that I went to this year, I sat with a guy who's a very good Christian man. And he had family that had started coming to Mansfield to play football. And he told me, he said, I'm not completely positive, but he said, you know, I think a lot of the reason why these boys came to Mansfield was because of your football coach. Because he's a man of God. We're not a powerhouse. We're not going to win state championships year after year. But this guy brought his boys here to play football because they were going to be playing for a man of God. You know, we get so competitive and we get so caught up in things, and you lose a couple games. And as a coach, You got people that start calling for your job. They want you fired. They want you out. We've seen it happen time after time again. They go to the school board. They get their committees together. They do whatever, and they fire you because you're not winning enough. So I thought it was such an awesome thing to know the only reason, or maybe not the only reason, but a big reason these boys are here is because the coach is a man of God. Would we be men and women of God? And may that come first above all else. Above winning, above losing. May we be people of God that people look at our life and say, I want my kids, I want my family around them because they love Jesus. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.